We're in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 13, this is God's word. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus is teaching as usual, and all of a sudden somebody speaks up with an urgent request. Obviously, this is thrown out there as something that needs to be dealt with right away. "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." You can tell this person's been carrying this around for a while. They've already appealed to their brother and been denied, and may have talked to some other relatives, and none of them were able to exert any leverage. And so the idea is, maybe the brother who was refusing to divide the inheritance was known as one of the people who hung out and listened to Jesus. There are a lot of people who go to church to be part of the audience. You know, they want to see, they want to hear. They're not really committed to following Jesus Christ, but they're there, and they might even be considered faithful because of their attendance. But Jesus is asked to intervene so that this person will not lose what's coming to them. I do not want what is coming to me from a worldly standpoint. If I got what I deserve, the wages of sin is death. And I would just as soon be left off that list, because we're not just talking about physical death there. We're talking about being separated from God. So the last thing you want to do in this life is demand what you deserve. That would be a big mistake if God answered your prayer. Instead, well, as a matter of fact, it reminds me of a great quote that I heard from, it was in World Magazine yesterday. Elizabeth Elliot was asked by an overly enthusiastic young woman, who is the real Elizabeth Elliot? To which she responded, I don't know, and may God grant that I never find out. If we knew ourselves and knew what we deserve, we would tremble at the prospects of getting what's coming to us. The gospel is about the fact that God has chosen to give us what Jesus deserves. And that just blows my mind every day. Blows my mind. Jesus, the beloved Son of the Father, came so that we could share in his infinite inheritance. All things are ours in Christ Jesus. Well, this person wants their share of the inheritance right now. It would just be disaster if they didn't get what's coming to them. Jesus just brushes it off. Here he is, the Lord and King. Here he is, the judge of the universe, the one who will be the judge at the end of time. And yet Jesus responds, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he said to them, I'll tell you what you need to watch out for. Don't worry about not getting your inheritance. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Now, part of what troubles me about Jesus saying that is that he says all kinds of greed. As if there's more than one kind of greed. Because there is. Some people are greedy for money. Some people are greedy for position and power. Recognition, attention. When we talk about personality types, we talk about the type of individual who, when the teacher asks a question in class, goes, ooh, 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 ooh. And the teacher calls on them and they're like, I'm sorry, what was the question? They didn't even really hear what the question was. They don't necessarily know the answer. They just heard that a question was being asked and they thought, oh, this is my chance to talk. I love it. Those of you who haven't been stuck in a classroom like I was for years, can't imagine what that's like. But I want you to see that Jesus says you need to be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Because the fact of the matter is, greed is the kind of thing that can sneak up on you. Greed is the kind of thing that can grab hold of you when you're not watching out for it. Jesus says, watch out. Be on guard. Against what? Against losing my inheritance? Somebody might come along and take what's due to me? No, no. That's a small problem compared to you being taken captive by greed. If you become a captive of greed, which, by the way, is idolatry. If you become a captive of greed, you are in a bad way. You are in serious danger. You are in deep trouble. So Jesus says, guard against it. The best way to guard against greed is to give. It's to give. It's hard to be greedy while you're giving. So if you want to guard against it, give. The more you get, typically, the more you want. The more you try and acquire more, more, more. One of America's richest men was asked, how much money does it take to make a man happy? And the mogul answered, just a little bit more. That's the answer. You're never satisfied. No amount of money will ever do it for you. Always wanting more, more, more. Jesus says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, because a man's life doesn't consist in his possessions. That won't do it. Be careful that your possessions don't end up possessing you. I told you before about the time that there was a fire over on the mountain, and we got a phone call early in the morning that the fire was headed toward us and that we needed to get out of the house. So we woke the my first thought was, no way, because the person on the other end of the phone was crying, you know. I mean, it was just so devastating to see this wall of fire headed our way. Well, I thought, you know, they're overreacting, and I went and opened the curtain, and there was a wall of fire headed toward our house, and I thought, okay, everybody up, please. Get the stuff ready, we're leaving. And we took some laundry baskets, and we put our photo albums and our insurance documents into those, birth certificates, that kind of thing, you know, all that's in a little box. We put that stuff in the clothes baskets, we put it in the back of the SUV, and we got everybody ready to leave. And I thought, you know, we're potentially going to lose all our antiques. We've got antiques. We got stuff from the 1700s. It's really cool. We're gonna lose things that were precious mementos, books. I mean, so many wonderful books, stuff. It was my great-grandfather's in the 1800s. And it was Bibles that have notes that my dad did in the margin, all that stuff. You know what? I'm not going to take that with me anyway. I mean, those guys didn't. You know, that was my dad's Bible. Well, so I love it was my dad's, but he's dead. He didn't get to take his Bible to heaven. His grandfather's Bible. The man's been dead a long time. Didn't get to take his Bible to heaven either. The best possessions you have in this life, you're going to leave behind. So start thinking now about how to give stuff away. You can enjoy things. The Bible speaks of the wise man being able to bring out of his storehouse in order to share with others. But the whole idea of the storehouse is not more, more. The idea of the storehouse is so that you have a place from which to give. The goal is the giving part. So guard yourself against greed. And then Jesus tells a story about a man that God calls a fool. And the reason the man was called a fool is because he was entirely focused on himself. See, the problem isn't that his ground produced a good crop. I love the fact that Jesus phrases it that way. I assure you that is very deliberate. It doesn't say this farmer produced a good crop, because farmers don't produce a good crop. The ground produced a good crop. And it produced such abundance that the man didn't know what to do with all that he had. And so he decided, I just need to build a bigger container. God forbid that I should give away the surplus. God forbid that I should share with my neighbors. God forbid that I should say to someone else, we have been blessed, come and share in our bounty. No, it's all for me. I'm telling you, God's had to remind me of this time and again, because God will pour a blessing into my life and I think, oh, that's fabulous. And God says, it's actually for so-and-so. And I'm like, okay. You're sure? All of it? Because, see, I'm thinking it's for me. It's all about me, isn't it? Isn't life all about me? Aren't I the center of the universe? Isn't the most important thing what I want? But I'm tired of talking about me. Why don't you talk about me? You see, greed comes in all kinds of ways. And we need to be on our guard against it. And so this man is deemed a fool, both because he was not generous toward God. How can you be generous toward God, by the way? How do you give to God? God tells us in his word. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, inasmuch as you've done it for the least of these brothers of mine, you've done it for me. See, you want to know, how can I give to Jesus? Help somebody who can't pay you back, who belongs to Jesus. Those are your brothers. Those are your sisters. How do we know? I thought everybody in need was Jesus' brother or sister. Well, not according to the scriptures. Just so you know. I mean, I realize it's very big right now in modern American evangelicalism to believe that Jesus is the hobo down by the railroad track. Jesus is the prisoner who's in jail for having killed somebody. And Jesus is anybody who is in a sad situation. But that's not what he says in his word, just so you know. It's his brothers that we need to prioritize. If you want somebody to pray for right now, you could pray, for instance, for the Christians in Syria or for the Christians in Ukraine. You could pray for people who are really suffering for their faith in places like Saudi Arabia, our good friend and ally, or in China. There are all kinds of places where our brothers and sisters need our prayers and in many cases could use our help. South Sudan, all kinds of places. And we need to say, God, what do you want me to do? And then obey whatever he tells you. But here, Jesus, having told them, be on guard against greed, don't be like the fool who thought it was all for himself. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Pastor, I think last time the message had something to do with do not worry. Yeah, it did. It did. So maybe some of you need to really hear this. Because Jesus keeps talking about it as if it's an ongoing problem for a lot of people, including his disciples. Jesus is having to tell his own disciples, do not worry. Don't worry about your life. He's not just saying don't worry about your cat or don't worry about your furnishings. He's saying don't worry about your life. Even my life I don't have to be concerned about. Wow. How does that come about? Do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you'll wear. Life is more than food and the body more than clothes. And then he says, look at creation and see the way that God cares for the birds and for the flowers. And Jesus apparently is a speciesist. Do you know what a speciesist is? A speciesist is somebody who believes that humans are not just another animal. You know, there are folks who really feel that all the different animal types are the same. You know, who's to say that a human is more important than a dolphin? And yes, no doubt there are children who are malnourished. But just look at these dogs and cats. Who will save them? I actually know a person who made it her mission to air condition the facilities where animals are kept before they're euthanized, because she thought it was terrible for these animals that were about to be euthanized to have to experience the heat of summer in Georgia. And she told me about her work and how they'd raised a lot of money, because I guess it costs a lot to air condition animal shelters. I know after talking yesterday about shooting raccoons that some of you may be thinking that I'm just a cruel and heartless man, but I'm just being true to my species. The fact of the matter is, humans aren't just another species of animal. We are unique in God's creation. And Jesus says right here, you are much more valuable than birds. He doesn't say, don't think that you're more valuable than the birds. The birds have tremendous powers of vision, and they can fly at high speeds, many of them, and they have wonderful navigational ability. Who are you to say that you are somehow more valuable than they are? Well, I only say that I'm more valuable than birds because God says so. And He made me and He made them. And if He says, this is a $1 bill and this is a $100 bill, whoever creates the currency gets to decide the value. And guess what? God says, you're not just another animal. You're not just another species. You're not just another mammalian. You are an image bearer for God. So, look at creation. See that God cares for the plants as well as for the birds, and realize that God's going to take care of you. He will. He promised. And I love the fact that He says, don't set your heart on what you'll eat. Don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and you don't really need them. Is that what He says? Story this week on AOL. Apparently, the mental case who has had umpteen plastic surgeries in order to try to look like Barbie, the doll. Have you seen her? Anybody see this story? Okay. She has had tons of plastic surgery so that she will look like Barbie. And you know what she looks like? Barbie. Which is crazy. Okay? She even makes her face up to look plastic. You know, most of the time, the people I know who have plastic surgery don't want to look plastic, even though sometimes they do. But they don't want to look plastic. She wants to look plastic. She wants to look like a doll. Well, now she has announced that she is a breatharian. A breatharian. She doesn't need food or water. She is going to rely on air and sunlight. I would say that this is a self-limiting problem. Okay? I'm not holding my breath to see if she can live on air and sunshine. That's what she's saying. Talk about desperate for attention. But you see, Jesus doesn't ask us to be breatharians either. Jesus doesn't say, the world is concerned about what they will eat and what they will drink and what they will wear. But you don't need those things. It's not what He says. He says, the world is chasing those things that they need. Your Father knows that you need them. You need food. You need water. You need clothes, especially when it's cold. God says, I'll provide that for you. Whatever you need. Whatever you need. I'll take care of it. One of the joys of starting this ministry, being through this journey, has been watching the way that God knew what we needed before we knew what we needed. And God put it in people's hearts to give it to us before we knew to ask. God had already answered the prayer before it was prayed. Two of the early stories where God just kind of rocked me back on my heels. I was at a friend's house in Atlanta. He had asked if before we left the Atlanta area, we could please come to his home for dinner. He lived in a gorgeous home near our church, and we went over there for Sunday dinner. And he said, I understand that you have all the money to build the first house. I said, yes, that's right. And he said, does that include the money for furniture and appliances? You know, I was embarrassed. Because I hadn't even thought about furniture and appliances. I was just fat, dumb, and happy. Thinking that, you know, God's meeting our needs here and we've gotten the money to build the first house. I hadn't even thought about how we were going to furnish it. And I said, no, actually it doesn't. And he said, well, good, because my wife and I want to provide all the furniture and appliances for the first house. Thank you. That's tremendous. Thank you so much. He said, glad to do it. It was a few weeks later that I was performing a wedding. Construction up here was just getting started. I'm performing a wedding. And the father of the bride comes to me and says, could I talk to you for a minute? And you could tell he seemed nervous. It makes me nervous when people seem nervous. And so, you know, I said, sure. I mean, the wedding's supposed to start in like 3 minutes, okay? And I'm already standing in my place where the bride and groom are going to be coming in a few moments to stand before me. It was in this man's house. It was very nice, another beautiful big house. So, you know, I said, sure. So we went off to the side, and he said, I don't want to make you uncomfortable or anything. And I'm thinking, well, you've already succeeded in making me uncomfortable. He said, do you know what I do for a living? I thought, oh, no. You know, I mean, is he a pornographer or a drug dealer or a bootlegger? I mean, you know, I have no idea what he does. I mean, is he about to explain that we're going to have strippers or lots of booze? You know, I mean, I didn't know. I didn't know what this guy did for a living. You know, I just wanted to let you know before the service so that when the strippers come in, it's, you know, it's okay. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm thinking, what is it? Because he's so nervous. And I said, no, I don't know what you do for a living. I have no idea. He said, well, I mean, you may already have other plans, but my wife and I make bed linens and towels for institutional use, like hotels and hospitals and all kinds of things like that. And he said, and some of them are really quite nice. They're our upper end. And he said, we would like to donate all the sheets and towels that you will need for the children's home. Sheets and towels. I hadn't thought of sheets and towels. See, we don't even have the building complete yet, and God has already got the sheets and towels lined up. Now, why am I telling that? Because over and over and over and over and over and over and over, God has been so far out in front of me. Anybody who looks at this place and thinks, well, that Jim Wood, he sure is a planner. No, I'm a follower of Jesus is what it is. Jesus is the one who had the plan. Jesus is the one who has made the provision. Jesus is the one who is so amazingly faithful. And Jesus is telling his disciples, okay, not the world at large, his disciples, look, you focus on doing my will and don't worry about the rest of it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. I'll make sure you have food. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. I'll make sure you have drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. I'll make sure you have clothes. I'll make sure that your needs are met if you will simply focus on doing my will. Don't be afraid, little flock. Don't be afraid. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So, what do you do if you believe that? Jesus tells his disciples, sell your possessions, give to the poor, and provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. Treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I've seen people who were desperate to hang on to as much as possible for as long as possible. For what? I mean, for what? Give it away. Give it away. Find ways to use what you have for the glory of God.
Well, is it okay to like own a house?
Yes, if that's what God tells you to do. Because in the New Testament, the church met from house to house. Couldn't do that if they didn't have houses. Jesus stayed in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It was okay. But if Jesus tells you need to give it away, then you know what you need to do? Give it away. And if Jesus says, like he did in the book of Acts, there are some poor people in the body who have needs, you need to sell this piece of property and give it, then you need to do that. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? Other people were selling property and donating the money. They decided they would sell property and donate some of the money and make everybody think that that's the amount they'd gotten for the property they sold. Okay? They'd pocket some for themselves. They paid that for that lie with their lives. God killed them. I don't know what it is about this man. He's always bringing up stuff like God's wrath and hell. It's in the book. It's all in the book. I'm not making any of this up. God killed Ananias and Sapphira because they lied. But before they died, here's what Peter said. When the land was yours, wasn't it yours to keep? You could do what you wanted with it. You weren't required to sell it. And when you sold it, wasn't the money yours to do with as you please? The problem was not that they kept back some of the money. The problem was the yeast of the Pharisees. Hypocrisy. Trying to look like more than they were.
We want the church to have this. This is all the money we got for the sale of the property. The problem was the lie. Folks, let me tell you something. Whether you own a house or you live in an apartment, whether you're leasing a car, which is usually a bad idea, or driving a car, which is often a bad idea. I mean, if you are going green, riding a bicycle, is it okay if it has 10 speeds? You know? I mean, I know people who think they are living an unselfish lifestyle, but they are so incredibly fixated on one or two of their objects. I mean, anybody here ever seen that? It's like, you know, oh, well, I would never do that. My parents are really materialistic. Hey, don't touch my stereo. You know, they are so obsessed with certain things because the problem is there's all kinds of greed. If all your possessions will fit in a dorm room, you can still be a greedy person. If everything you've got is in this basket that you're pushing down the street that you stole from Target, okay? If everything you've got is right there in that basket, you can be incredibly possessive. Nobody's going to take this away from me. Or you can live open-handed. I know people who have given away millions of dollars. Not because somebody put a gun to their head, not because the government told them they had to do it, but simply because they knew where it came from and they wanted to do what God said to do. And so they were generous and they were givers, which is the best way to guard yourself against greed. Don't worry. Well, what happens if I give it all and then I don't have anything? How could you say, well, you wouldn't have anything? God will take care of his children. He'll always take care of his children. But don't I need to save for difficult times? Yes, you need to save whatever God tells you to save for difficult times. But the goal is not just so that you will have enough to get through difficult times. The goal is so that when difficult times come, you can say to others, let me share with you, I have some. Is that enough? Here, all of this belongs to God. He entrusted it to me so that I could share with you. Can you enjoy beautiful things? Absolutely. But you got to be willing to leave them all behind if there's a wall of fire coming towards you. It was a very free feeling when I thought we were about to lose everything in the house. I was not sad. I was not sad. I wasn't crying. Neither was my wife. We were both just fascinated because we never imagined that that's what would happen to all our stuff. But it was like, you know, if that's what God wants, it's okay. And you know what? God in his mercy caused the wind to do a 180 and push back the flames the other way. It was an amazing thing to watch. God has promised, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. You'll have everything you need. So don't worry.